Thank you, Pastor Gary. And Amy's going to read our scripture before I begin.
This comes from Matthew chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
Amen. Thank you, Amy. We are blessed. We are blessed people. And may we receive the greater portion of his blessing today. I am so blessed because I get to lead so many incredible women in this church. And they're such a blessing to me, each one of you. And we are starting a new Bible study that I am blessed to be able to have Marty teach for me. and that will begin in a couple weeks on May 19th, Wednesdays instead of Fridays. We've traditionally done it Fridays, so if you have never been able to do Fridays, show up on a Wednesday. It'll be all summer long, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be all on the image and how we're image bearers. So please come check out on our website for more information. And so happy Mother's Day again. And some of you already know that Dan and I are taking in my mother, who is going to be 94 this year, and she's going to come down and live with us. It's a big undertaking, but we feel like it's a sacred journey and a sacred space to offer for her. We've had this little retreat space created for missionaries and people that need rest, and well, here comes Mom. So I treasure your prayers. That will happen at the end of May, the beginning of June, and I'm taking a one-month sabbatical, which probably will not be a true word of the sabbatical, rest, but a working sabbatical and time off from the church, just so I can dedicate my time to Mom and her settling in. So just wanted to let you know that, and I do treasure your prayers. We only have a certain amount of time on this earth, and we want to live that blessing to the full. So if you just pause with me for a moment, I need Holy Spirit just to infuse me. So Lord, I just take in your grace, your love, and your power. Would you breathe upon me by your Holy Spirit so that my feeble words would come forth in power, love, and grace to impart to each of these dear ones the word you want them to hear today. Change us, mold us, make us into your image, I pray. Amen. Amen, amen. This word has been stirring with me for quite a while, and the women have been able to get little bits on it each week as we've been going through the Beatitudes. So we're going to talk about the blessing today, and what does it mean when Jesus sat down and gave them the blessing by preaching about the Beatitudes. And a key word here is that he sat down. And when a teacher sits down, it means, sit down with me. I have something important to tell you. And we might be here a while. And so this Sermon on the Mount that he starts out with in the Beatitudes, I feel is the most important sermon in the whole book of the Bible we call. So I think we need to pay attention to the words that are in it. And Pastor Gary's has preached on this off and on over the years. And I'm so thankful that he's spending the rest of his years preaching on Jesus, because that's where we need to center ourselves, right? On his life, so his life's in us. So we're going to go take a little snippet of journey on the Beatitudes, just a large brushstroke. But blessed are they is a term, and it's a Hebrew expression that means, oh, the blessedness of. So it's that state of being. You're not blessed because you do something, although you do get blessed when you are blessing someone else, right? It's kind of a given. We get a lot. We inherit a lot, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's a state of being. We are already blessed. We already have the blessing. We already have it. We have the kingdom. The kingdom of God is here now. It's not far off waiting for us. It's here now. Yes, it's now and the not yet. We are heading there. The root word Asher from the blessedness means to make a straight level for a movement forward. So a blessing calls us forward. And I love giving a blessing. And I think there's nothing more powerful that we can do for each other is to give a blessing. And to give a blessing just means speaking a word of encouragement, of seeing something that God's doing in someone else's life and blessing it. I see in you, Linda, I see in you the love of God, your care for others, your heart that is deep and caring for your children and the children's and the generations to come. And you love beauty and you create that in your home for others to come and enjoy. You know, that is a blessing. God has blessed you and you bless others by sharing it. And so, you know, we bless one another by seeing what God is doing in our lives. And as I was thinking about that calling forward, I started thinking about our falling downwards and how we are falling apart. I am falling apart. I notice as I age, I am falling apart. There are things that just aren't working as good. You know, the minute you turn 65 and you get a Medicare, it's like all of a sudden you start going to the doctors. Like, what's up with that? I never went to the doctors, but I guess because it's free, we go, or they keep hounding us, you need to go. And there is this aspect of falling. And it's either we're falling away or we're falling into something. We're either falling down or we're falling upwards. Are we falling into something? Are we falling out of something? So I just want you to keep in that in mind when I talk about the Beatitudes and the blessing, because it's a call to fall upwards. It's a call to fall inwards so that we can do what God is already doing in our hearts and our lives. We can be a part of that transformation in our latter years from what we've learned from our former years. First the fall and then the recovery from the fall, and both are the mercy of God. That's St. Julian of Norwich. It seems to me like the whole world is falling apart. We live in a fallen world, don't we? And do we ever see it now more than ever? I guess in our lifetime, it feels that way more than ever. Families are falling apart. Marriages are falling apart. Our houses are falling apart. If we don't tend to our gardens, they fall apart. Everything is falling apart because they need constant attention and repair. And I was thinking of this classic movie, one of our favorites is Moonstruck. I don't know how many of you remember that in the 80s. It's an old movie, but it's Italian family, classic family, Italian family. And I was raised Italian, so I relate to it. And the Italian mother, Rosa Castorini, is played by Olympia Dukakis, great actress. And she says to her daughter, Loretta, when she comes in, from being, you know, she's in her, I don't know, 30s or 40s, and her life's fallen apart, and she says, what is the matter with you? Your life is going down the toilet. And that's sometimes, you know, we look at the world, and it feels like this vortex is sucking us all down in the toilet. And then she says to her husband, Cosmo, which is another classic phrase, when she just found out that he was cheating on her, and she says to him, you know, looks him in the eyes, he says, I just want you to know that no matter what you do, that you're gonna die just like everybody else. And, you know, and he replies, thank you, Rose. And, you know, there's humor in that, but there's reality in that, because it's true. We're all going to die, no matter what we do. So let's inherit and move in to the blessing that God has for us now. Let's not wait. So yes, the world is falling apart, but we are falling into the kingdom of God. Daily we get to do that. We have something, no matter how old we are, how many young we are, to hear his voice, to hear his call, and to be the attitudes, to be the blessing in the lives of others. So it's in the falling down that we learn almost everything that matters spiritually. So there's something about the aspect of falling. It says, unless a grain of wheat, a kernel of wheat, falls into the ground and dies, it will not multiply. So you know, when a seed that comes from a beautiful fruit-bearing plant falls off, goes into the ground, it's dark and damp, then it gets watered, and it dies. But it really doesn't die. The shell dies, and up from it comes new growth, and it multiplies again and again. And that parable, that story, really represents who we are, our lives, our outer shells that we have that are stripped away. All our lives, we learn to let go. We learn to surrender. And if you haven't learned that by now, you will learn it when you die. Because you can't, you got to let go, you know, that final breath. So let's learn it now. So let's live in that transformed state. And so how do we do that? How do we do that? So we start with the beatitude of poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is a kingdom. Notice the first one talks about the kingdom. Theirs is a kingdom. To start entering the kingdom, we start with a poverty of spirit. And this is knowing our need. I am weak. God, you are strong. Know the soil of your soul's condition. Does it need watering? Does it need rest? Does it need more satisfaction, fulfillment? Go to God. There are days where I get topped off with people. I love you people. You're wonderful. But I need my space just to be with Jesus. I need hours. And the older I get, the more time I need to be alone with God. And I think that's just the way God wired us. We realize we need to have one window with others and one window to God. And they both will merge, right? The more time we get to spend with God, the more energy and blessing he gives us to give out to others. So know the soil of your soul. Where do you lack and where do you go? Surrender to that. So we just stop now and rest. This is our prayer. Let's rest in the blessing of the poverty of spirit. God, I am small and you are great. I am weak and you are powerful. I have everything I need in you. I rest knowing that it is your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Today is Mother's Day. It's a celebration of mothers all around the world. We honor mothers. But it also brings up some emotions, doesn't it? Some of us have lost moms. Some of us think about them. I had a friend the other day say, I just hate Mother's Day because it makes me think of my mom, who she lost a few years back. And yet that's right where God meets us, is in our mourning. The moms that we have lost, the moms that we are losing daily, perhaps through dementia or aging, the moms that we wish we had, that we didn't have, moms we never had, the moms that weren't there for us the way that we needed them to be. We mourn the loss of motherhood, those that never have been able to be a mother in a physical sense. It's a loss, and we mourn there, and we let Jesus there. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. When we mourn, when we grieve, we invite Jesus there. We don't sit in our puddle of mourning, but we name it and we own it and we let God there. That's what mourning is, when we receive comfort. And we can only give out of the comfort that we've already received, right? So we know when we're grieving and we push it aside, when the emotions of our grief are triggered, when out of the blue comes this overwhelming sadness, or surprisingly, we are snippy and angry, impatient, confused, disoriented, shocked. Those are all stages of grief. Pain tells us of our brokenness. Pain tells us in our bodies what's broken, right? That's why we go to the doctors. I feel this pain. Fix it. It tells us, it's an indicator that brokenness exists. Pain is not the enemy, but a reminder that the real enemy is trying to keep us stuck in broken places. When Dan and I were debriefing missionaries in Europe for those few years, we would meet these strong, powerful, amazing people, world shakers, world changers, going out in the hardest, difficult places of the world. And yet they were dealing with losses and griefs, numerous griefs, that they never would name. And we gave them a week and a whole time to go through the grief curve and name their losses and take it to the cross. And I'm telling you, it was the most powerful time in their lives, because they were set free in ways they could never be set free before, because they were there to set other people free, not realizing they needed to be set free themselves. And we can easily get into that trap as pastors and leaders and missionaries, that we think we're more holy, or we can't go there because we got to keep it together. And all along, God is inviting us to invite him into our grief. So if we do not transform our pain, and that's what God is in the work of doing, we will most assuredly transmit it to others. So when you find yourself transmitting it, that's when you need to go to God. Just confess and own it and let him do his work. It's a lifelong journey, isn't it? Because losses will continue in our life. We got those big ones when things fall apart, big ones. And then we have those little ones, the daily losses, the decline and the diminishing and the having to be limited in our bodies. Can't do what I used to do. You know? And I have to lean into that, and it's hard. I have a hard time with that. I just read Ann Voskamp's devotional yesterday, and she's an incredible writer. She's written a lot of books. And she had one on motherhood, and I thought it was so good, really related to it. Because how many of us as moms go back and have some, you know, glimpses of, oh, I wish I would have done that better. Oh, all that I know now I have my grandkid, is like, oh, goody, I got a do-over, you know. But she says, honestly, you don't know what you'll do when the kids grow up. Because that's when they realize. They buy you a Mother's Day card while they tell their friends and their therapist and their kids that you got so much wrong. You just have to know that you'll humbly own it, because they aren't wrong. We did get some things wrong. And the brokenness, all the brokenness that can be the tender breaking open of a seed to grow better. There's that dying again, right? Parenting is never about how your kids turn out. It's always and only about how you keep turning towards your kid and their maker. Isn't that good? Turn to your kids. When they push you away, you lean in and you turn to them and their maker. Motherhood is never about training your children to be good so they won't fall. They're going to fall. It's about letting them see you fall in love every day with a good God. And Rebecca, that's what you do. I see that in you. You try and you try and you try again. And you get up again to be better. You keep showing up. You are a mother that God's love shows through. So let's bless and pray this prayer in the rest of morning, the blessing of morning. Just receive this. Today, I rest in the blessing of morning. I rest in the embrace of the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. I know that I can walk all the way into my sadness and find your presence there. Amen. Receive it. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek are gentle and kind, but they are also powerful in the kingdom because they know who they are and who they are not. And that's a big one. Moses was one that was known as the meekest man of earth, and he had learned that, learn and lean into that meekness. They know they are called, so they don't need to prove to anybody else who they are. You know who you are, and you know that you're called. You don't have this big striving thing of having to prove it. Have you discovered the true you underneath that cracked open shell? The gift of being who you are, the gift that you have within you. You are the blessing, and you've been given a blessing. So your call is to give it away. That's what it means to be meek. Catherine of Siena says, be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. Can we set the world on fire in our last few days we have, in our ninth inning, our eighth inning, whatever you want to call it, our third, most of us are there. Let's do it and do it well. So let's fall into the blessing of meekness. Let's pray. Today, I fall in the blessing of meekness. I don't have to fight to make my own way. I don't have to shout to make my voice heard. Jesus, you go before me. You prepare a place for me. I rest knowing that the earth is my inheritance. Let the seeds of the Beatitudes just take root and settle there in the places of your soul. Every day I read in my liturgy and my little everyday reading a story of a blessed among us, they call them, heroes of the faith. And there's so many. And so many of them are women. Why is that? And so many of them are young, like some of the old saints, and some of the older, and, you know, long, long, long time ago, you know, in their 30s, in their 20s, and Jesus was 33, yeah? I mean, it was amazing what these people did. Well, one of them, Thérèse de Lisieux from France, is one of my, I've just always loved her. She's called the Little Flower, known, and she became a Carmelite nun at the age of 15, one of the youngest, and when she was small and little, She was born very sickly to her parents, who were very devoted to God. In fact, when they married, they took a vow of celibacy. But the priest told them, that's not why you get married. And so they ended up having 9 children. And 4 of them died over a few years, and very sorrowful. And when by the time Thérèse was born, they were afraid she was going to die too. And she was very frail, but she came back strong. And they pampered her and took care of her a little more, probably spoiled her a little bit more because of the 4 that had died before her birth. And yet, as she grew, her mother died when she was 4 and a half, and she was a very emotional child. She was very sensitive and would have these emotional outbursts as she grew older, early preteen. And so she had this wonderful, deep relationship with God, and she knew that this wasn't right, because she was embarrassed about it, always crying and falling apart. And she asked God, God, would you take this away? Would you take this away? Help me to snap out of it, you know? And God, you know what God did? God turned her emotional outbursts into true love and devotion towards him. And so she wrote these amazing poems and stories and journals in her prayer journal that are now probably one of the most read devotions and books in the spiritual community, especially in Catholicism, but all around, and different leaders have gone. Even popes have read her books. She died at 24. She had consumption. She was only in the Carmelite, which is a cloistered community, for 10 years. And yet she lived a life devoted to God by her actions and her attitudes. And it showed. And the other nuns would get disturbed by it. Because she didn't try to be more holy than them. She just was serving Jesus, her whole soul. So it's called The Story of a Soul, if you ever want to look it up. Tres de Lisieux. Her last words, as she was dying, and she declared that her suffering was a sweet suffering because it was Jesus' suffering too. And she said, "Oh, I love him. Oh, I love thee." That was her final words. So here's a woman, young woman, no children, devoted to God. And she passed on a blessing, an inheritance that is still received today. Holiness consists simply in doing God's will and being just what God wants us to be. The closer one gets to God, the simpler one becomes. Those are a couple of her sayings. So don't wait until tomorrow to become a saint. Be one today. Let the blessings stir within you. We are saints. That's what Jesus calls us. We are saints. We are his. We are his to be his blessing on earth. So blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. There is a hunger and thirst for satisfaction in our world today that is not being met by anything material. Don't you see it? And you feel it? And so we have found the water. We have found the spring. And we have that blessing to give to others. We have a generation, this younger generation, that is so at risk of dying. We are losing them daily to suicide, to hopelessness. We have elderly here in our community that are dying, that don't know Jesus, that haven't received the blessing. And we can give it to them. Be open to that. Be open to being that kingdom of God. There's this longing that Romans talks about. It's like a pregnant longing, like birth pangs, Romans 8:22. It's enlarged in the waiting. It's not diminished in the waiting. We're all waiting for that fulfillment, right? But we get to step into a little bit of it now, and we want to be a part of that. So let's pray together the rest in the blessing of hunger. I join with the groanings of the Holy Spirit, and I hold my longing for a world where you make all things right and all things new, and give voice to my cry, come, Lord Jesus, come. That's in Revelations. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. What are the attributes of mercy? Cheryl, you know. What are the attributes of mercy? Ah, love one another. Showing love. Compassion, empathy, understanding. Those are just parts of love. Love is, ooh, yes, being love. Love is God, and God is love, right? So blessed is mercy. You know the actual word mercy, the Hebrew word rachmani, it comes from the root womb. The womb is that protective, deeply loving provision, a parental love. Did you know that God refers to himself as a mother? That he's a mother to his children, and he longs to show us mercy, and he will never forget his children. God is our mother, and God is our father. Oh, so we can rest in the blessing of mercy. One of my daily prayers is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And as I pray that prayer, he fills me with mercy so that I can have mercy for others. And so it starts by receiving mercy. So today, let's rest in the blessing of mercy. Lord, because of your great love for me, you who are rich in mercy, made me alive with Christ, even when I was dead in transgressions, because it's by grace I've been saved. Oh, God, thank you. Receive that. Receive the grace. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And seeing is a form of pure being. Unlike watching or looking at, seeing is why we are here in Lamont. But that seeing, what does it mean to see God? See God in each other? Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and the Father shows me what to do. We get to see what the Father's doing. So it's as really as simple as that. Ask him to purify your heart. When your heart is pure, and that just means we are set apart, holy for his purpose. We already are set apart. We don't have to work at being pure. We just have to work at falling into his purity by resisting that which makes us impure. Letting him touch and fill us with his mercy, that's what purifies our hearts. Then we can see what he's doing. Then it's not out of our own motivation or our own inspiration even. It's led out of the purity of seeing and being present to one another. Isn't that beautiful? That we get to see what the Father's doing, and then we get to join him in what he's doing. You know, I just heard, it was so cool, Judy just shared with me in first service that during the taco giveaway, she and Janie had went on a walk the other day and walked by an elderly couple's house they used to see a lot out walking. And they just said, hey, we should go give them some tacos on Saturday. So they called each other up, and they went over, and they just knocked on the door. You know, and they knew them. They just don't see them and haven't seen them in years, you know, to talk with. And they knocked on their door, and they, you know, kind of felt a little embarrassed. But they said, you know, we're doing this taco thing, and we just want to bless you with these. And they invited them in, and they talked there for over an hour. They were so thrilled, so hungry for community and someone to talk to. And it blessed, of course, Janie and Judy so much just because they got to do that. So those little things, those small things that we can be a blessing. And Marty and Jim, you are such a blessing to this community. I know that you do those kind of things. And it's behind the scenes and nobody sees it. But the blessing of God is spread. And that's your inheritance, the blessing that God has given to you, not only as a mother and a grandmother, as you sow into those lives in a powerful way in who you are, because it's your sincere faith in God that's being passed on, just like it speaks of Timothy's mother and grandmother. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's rest in the blessing of the purity heart. Jesus, you have my attention. And you have my affection. You have my allegiance. Open my eyes to see where you are working, and let me work there too. Okay, we got two more. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. That's what we get. Our blessing is we get to be called children of God, sons and daughters. Peace, shalom, that means completeness, wholeness, healing, right? It's a greeting, but it's also, it's a blessing. Peace be on you. Oh, I could talk about this. This is one of my favorites for hours, but I won't. Peace, I'm leaving you with this gift, peace of mind and heart, Jesus says. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Don't let anything disturb you, because everything we have is in him. He gives us the peace. We give it away, and then we get to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. And that is action, peoples. Not fleeing from conflict. It's showing up, and it isn't always easy, and doing the rumble when we need to, but it's a holy rumble, I call it, because you show up with a pure heart, and you say, hey, we need to make this relationship whole, and this, let's do this, let's talk this through, and bring wholeness. And when we see the differences in others and distinctions as blessings and gifts rather than divisiveness, then we are walking in the kingdom of God. When we diminish one another because of our differences and distinctions, we become divisive. And Christ is no longer our peace, because he has broke down every dividing wall. I don't care what side you're on. The side we all want to be on is Jesus. His peace. We are his peace. His peace is in us. Amen? Amen? So be the shalom. That's the inheritance God left for us. Ephesians 2. He is our peace. He's made two groups one, destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall of hostility. Oh, God, would you break down the wall of hostility in our world? Do we ever need it now? Do we ever need it now? Let's pray. Today, we rest and fall into the blessing of peacemaking. Good, good Father, you are gathering us, your children, together. Prince of Peace, by your Spirit, you are expanding your rule and reign in and through me, through this church, through your people, we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessed are those that are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we try to get to make peace, more than likely we're going to be persecuted. If you're standing up for righteousness and speaking truth of God with a pure heart, there will be times that you will be persecuted. And we don't experience any type of persecution like a lot of Christians do in the other parts of the world. Ours are just our minor sufferings, you know. Maybe sometimes we have some others, personal things, but blessed are they that are persecuted. And we inherit that, the place of what God will do through the next generation when we stand for righteousness and truth, right? There's a prayer, try to wrap it up here, from a woman named Elizabeth Lazur, and she was married to a man for 22 years, she married at 22 years. I don't know how long she was married, but she married a man that was a devout atheist that was very militantly against Christianity. And she prayed for her husband for years. And God told her in her prayers, or she felt in her prayers, shown that he would become a priest one day. And she was mocked and ridiculed for her faith. He was an editor of a publication of a newspaper. But her prayer strengthened her even more every day to pray for her husband's salvation and conversion. And she got ill and died of cancer at 50 years old. And after her death, her husband began to read her journals, because he was an editor. And he read she wrote about her sufferings as being an offering for her husband's conversion. And he broke down and accepted Jesus and was converted. And he went on to edit and publish her journals and writings. 9 years later, he was ordained as a Dominican priest. And her prayer is, I know that no cry, no despair, no call proceeding from the depth of our soul is lost, but all go to God through him. Show who moved us to pray. And I know that only God performs the intimate transformation of a soul, and that we can but point out to him those we love and pray, Lord, let them live. Lord, let them live. If you pray anything in your intercession for others, pray Elizabeth Lazur's prayer. So let's rest in the blessing of being persecuted because of righteousness, because we want to know Christ. Yes, we want to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, become him, become like him unto his death, so somehow we will attain to the resurrection of the dead. Philippians 3:10. So we receive his kingdom when we become like him in our attitudes of the Beatitude blessings. And I'd like to close with one more story and just how much we have to give, no matter how old and how young or how old, I'm getting near the end here, that God has empowered us if we have ears to see what he's doing. And this video is actually of our daughter, Christine. And she shared with me a dream, and she wanted to share it with her leadership. She goes to a church down in Grover Beach. And so I just want to share it with you, just to hear her passion. Let it stir to what God is calling you into and giving away the blessing.
Hi, my name is Christy. Thanks for taking the time to watch this video. So what I wanted to share with you guys is that I had a dream the other night, and in my dream, there was a little boy, and he was calling out for some water. He was thirsty, and I was trying to help him get his mom's attention, and she didn't hear. So I brought the boy over to where the water was, and I showed him where to fill up the jug of water. And then after that, there was this book that we all had to read, and it was a book of hopelessness. And just, I believe it represented the world, what the world tells about us. And in my dream, I called out and I said, God, what is your plan? What is your plan? And I was screaming it in my dream. And then I woke up and I had my chest was burning, and I felt pressure on my head. And I was just said, God, what is your plan? And I woke up and I said, okay, God, well, what is your plan? And I felt that God said, the youth, we have to take care of the youth in our church. We have to cover them. And I said, okay, God, well, how do we do that? And God said, a mentorship. All you have to do is mentor one. And then I said, okay, well, what does that look like? And then I felt like God said, well, first we start with telling them our testimony. And we commit to meeting with them once a week for an hour. And we just speak life into them. And throughout the week, every day, we pray fervently for that youth. And we just speak life into them. And we pray for words for them. And mentor them. And just show them what God thinks about them, not what the world thinks about them. So that is what I felt like God was telling me. Just equip the youth, pray fervently, and have some kind of a mentorship program. So yeah, I would love to partner with the church and start some kind of a mentorship for the youth. I'm excited to see what God has, but definitely I just want to be a part of covering the youth.
Yeah. So, you know, we all have something to step into. There's a cry out there. There's a hunger out there. And only you can fill it in that one person. It might be your neighbor. It might be your daughter. It might be your son. It might be your niece. It might be your nephew. It might be your grandchild. It might be your student. And I know that's been your passion, Ron. And you guys have done this and are doing it, and it's not over yet. He has so much more. And these latter years are going to be, oh, I just see it as like a, you know, you talk about the wave, but it's like an acceleration. I mean, you might slow down, but there's a pathway that's going to accelerate in these latter years that you're going to see more come into the kingdom than you ever had before in those days working with youth. And I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to look a little different than you thought it was before, But there's flashes of light that I see on this accelerated. Maybe it's like you're going to do time travel or something in the spirit. But there is something that's going to speed up for you. I bless that over you. So, worship team, could we come up and just close with a blessing? And let's receive right where you are. Just offer your life back to God for his blessing to step in to your place of need. Oh, Lord, I need you. Poverty of spirit. Fall into the kingdom. Fall deeper and harder in love with a good God and leave an inheritance behind for the next generation to embrace. Receive it. We are never to stop praying and believing as Elizabeth of Lisieux did with her passion to speak forth to the lost that they would live, let them live. May we live our life for others. Spend our lives sowing the kingdom into younger lives that are searching and longing for meaning. Oh God, bring us those people, Lord. Let us leave that inheritance that we have received for the ones yet to come. So let's receive the blessing as we sing and just ask God to come and touch you. What's his invitation to you? Thank you, Lord. Yes, come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.